Hi, everybody. Glad to be here. Okay, we went through all of that already. So I think it's in 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter's actually quoting one of the prophets, and he talks about Jesus being the stone of offense, the stumbling block that people who are offended by Jesus, or in other words, the people who reject Jesus, they are offended by him, and in Portuguese it says they trip over him and fall down. In other words, it not only are they not saved, but just kind of like life doesn't quite work out the way it does. But then he says the ones who receive him, they will never be ashamed. That's really, really a wonderful reminder as we live and work and be together in a world that is fallen and broken and confused, and a world that doesn't know what it wants, doesn't know how to get it, but we have a rock that is ours. And one of the things that I am so thankful for is that even though we're so easily distracted by so many things around us on a regular basis, if we ever want to know what it is that God is doing in the world around us, if we ever wonder where is God and what is he doing, we can look at this group of people. He is here. He is in his church. He is building his church. And Peter says that we are being built up together as living stones, right? That's what God is doing. That's what his purpose is. His goal, his will is that we as a people would be built together to be a light in the world around us. And then in chapter 2, he's going to say that we are in this world to give testimony of the one who has called us from darkness into his marvelous light. And so we don't have to be confused by all the chatter and all the paraphernalia that's out there, and all the people that are like, this is where God's working and this is what's happening, and all that stuff that's going on. We want to know what God is doing in the world around us. We want to know where he's at work. He's at work among us as he builds us up into his holy dwelling. His holy dwelling. So when we think about what God is doing in the world today, he is making us to be living, holy stones to be a part of his house. His purpose in your life, his purpose in my life, his purpose among us is that we would reflect his holiness in the world that we live in. So, beloved, we can rejoice together. It's fun sometimes to hear a missionary talk, and it's fun to be able to talk like this. It's easy to hit the highlights when we do a little talk like this and try to give a summary of 2 or 3 years. It's not all easy, and it's not all good, and it's not all happy and fine, but it's easy to just grab those highlights, you know. But we can remember that what God is doing in the world is building us up together. Where God is working is right here among us, and we don't have to look anywhere else. We don't have to look far away. We don't have to look to the centers of power, of earthly power, but he is working here among us for his glory. So we're glad to be here with you this morning, and we've had a great week. Thankful for you as a church family. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your faithful support and generosity to us and in our lives. Thank you for sending, how many of you came last year? 25 of you last year? Thank you for sending so many to come and bless our mission and to bless our church family last fall. We had a great time, and we're so thankful for your love and care and partnership with us in the gospel. We have to come back every couple of years because, like one of my children said recently, a few weeks ago in a church we were at, she, She, so now you know it's which one it wasn't, right? She said, Dad, we got to get a new picture. I'm still a baby in the one that's up there on the wall. So, you know, Daniil and I don't change a whole lot, but our kids change. And so we can mark our progress that way, right? But anyway, Eliana's 16. Right, Eliana? So you guys can pray that God will work in Eliana's life over the next couple of years and that she will abandon all desires of her heart to move far away from us and that she will live very close to us and live happily ever after. So we're just thankful for God's good work in her life. Sorry. Pretty scared about the future. Carter's 13. We're scared for him too, but in a different way. So, no, it's just not quite as imminent in Carter's life as it is in Eliana's. So, and Noella is 10, and we're so thankful for our kids. Thankful for their partnership with us. They're part of our team and an integral part of the ministry at church, and we're so thankful for God's good work. Keep praying for him. We got to come back to the States this year. Church that we partner with in Illinois wanted to send Carter and Eliana to a youth convention and paid for their way, and so Eliana and Carter got to go and listen to somebody else besides their dad preach to them and didn't have to go and set up anything or take down anything or teach anything. They just got to go and be, and so we're glad for that opportunity for them as well. So just want to give you a little overview here. Some of this stuff probably you've seen before. I'm just kind of recycling through some things here, but maybe this will help for some of you to get a picture of where we're at. So we live in Brazil. As you know, Brazil makes up most of that continent of South America there. The other America, as we like to say, that is there. Larger than the continental United States. What's the greatest geographical feature of Brazil? Does anybody know? Amazon. The Amazon, that's right. It's huge. If you go like from the East Coast all the way to the Mississippi River, that's like how much rainforest there is in Brazil. It's just immense. It's huge. So makes up a big part of Brazil, but it's a long ways away from where we live. We live clear down in the southern part of the country. When we moved to Brazil 15 years ago, Rio Grande do Sul was our destination, and we lived there for 7 years. Thankful for God's good work in the churches in Rio Grande do Sul. And maybe if you want to visit more about some of the things that's happening in Rio Grande do Sul, you can talk to Ellie. She's right back there, so she'd be happy to fill you in on some of those things. You guys just met Fabio and Joy, right, a couple weeks ago? So we're so thankful for their good work and for their faithfulness. Appreciate your prayers. I'm sure they talked to you guys about all the flooding, and you've seen those, some of that stuff in the news as well. Thankfully, the worst of the flooding wasn't in where most of our churches are. However, it's right in the metro area there, and it's just been absolutely devastating. So they've got a long, long road to go to recover from all of that stuff. So in 2016, we moved to Santa Catarina, state just north of us. We've been there ever since, working in a couple of different church plants. BGFM also has ministries in Paraná. This is new for us. Paraná is just a state just north of us. And last month we had a Brazilian couple move to Foz de Iguaçu, which is the huge waterfall. Do a search for that on Google sometime. Not now, but later, maybe. And it's a really amazing, amazing part of the world. It's just beautiful. But they just moved there to work with Muslim immigrants in Brazil. So appreciate your prayers for them. And also we have missionaries in the interior of São Paulo state there. So that's kind of where we're at in South Brazil. Appreciate your prayers for David and Aaron. We work with them. I've been working with them since 2012. 21, and what a blessing they have been in our lives. David and Aaron in this picture, it's one of the more, they don't like to be on the other side of the camera, but I found this one, and they were actually taking a carload of stuff that our church had put together as relief effort for the flooding in Rio Grande do Sul, and so their car was full at the top, you can see, taking relief stuff down. So well, we're so thankful for them. God has been using them with us and in our lives as well, and appreciate your prayers as they hold down the fort for another month. Whenever we travel or whenever they travel, everybody's responsibilities kind of shift over and grow. And so we appreciate your prayers for David and Aaron, and we're so thankful for their partnership in the gospel as well. Here's where we live in Florianópolis. Florianópolis is, you know, politics is a funny thing. And maybe 150 years ago, give or take 10 or 20 years, there was a rebellion in South Brazil where the southern states of Brazil tried to secede from Brazil. I don't know if that sounds familiar at all, and it wasn't over the same issues, but the capital of the rebellion was in Florianópolis, even though the main part of the rebellion was further south. And when the rebellion was absolutely crushed, the president of Brazil, or the president of Brazil, was a guy named Florian Peixoto, and he was a brutal guy. I was telling Jeremiah yesterday, just awful. And so to try to kind of make the peace and not get their city destroyed, Florianópolis changed their name from a different name to Florian's Metropolis, Florian City. So that's where we get our name. And this, we live on an island, or we don't live on an island, but the greater part of the city is on the island. This picture is from the island looking back towards the continent. It's a population. Oh, here you go. There's a kind of the layout of the city. The three main cities in the metro area, Florianópolis, São José, and Palhoça, are the three largest. Palhoça is one of the fastest growing cities in the country of Brazil, and it is probably going to be the third largest city of this in the state of Santa Catarina here before the end of the decade. If you want to know how to speak Portuguese a little bit, it's not Palhoca, okay? It's Palhoça. The little squiggly line under the C makes the C an S sound. And the name of the word means, it's kind of a take off of the word for straw, because the original Açorian Portuguese settlers that came there built straw huts to live in when they first settled. It's also kind of funny because in Portuguese, it's a little bit like the word for clown, which is palhaço. So there's a little bit of a play on words there too that happens from time to time. But then the outer ring of the metro area there is Santo Amaro and São Pedro and Antônio Carlos. So the metro area makes up just about 1.3 million people total for the whole metro area there. So that's kind of where we live. We work in Palhoça, which would be, as you're looking at the picture, that's to the south. And our house is actually in Santo Amaro, just off the edge, out on the outskirts there of the metro area. So it's where we're located. And this picture is a little bit old, but wanted to pull it up here. So thankful for your prayers for us. It's a lot of population density there. And we're thankful for God's good work in our lives and the opportunity to preach the gospel in this city. So just a little bit of an overview here of what's been going on the last 4 years. We were here in the end of 2022. But when we moved back to, the last time we were here for a long furlough was in 2019. We were kind of in limbo about where we would even end up and where we'd go, and decided to make a go at it in Palhoça. And then the pandemic moved there, and then the pandemic hit, and we're just kind of like, what's going on here? And God used that time for us to really build a core with people we didn't know. Got to know a couple of families, and they started meeting together with us. Sat around our living room. There was about four families together. We all fit on the couch, and got met together for about 5 months, and then in 21 we had to move to the garage, and pretty soon we were starting to put the chairs in rows instead of having them in a circle, and then started to have to look for a place to rent. In 2022 we organized officially as a church, and have just continued to see God work in our lives. 23, that was a picture of our third year anniversary as a church, having met together. That picture's a little bit bloated because we had a team from the States who were with us that day, but we're thankful for God's good work in our lives. And then this was our Easter program this year. I think it was the largest event that we've ever had. We had quite a few visitors with us. Not everybody goes to church there with us there, but it was. We had a Passover Seder on Good Friday. I don't know if you've ever done that before. It's a pretty fun experience. It was the first time for most of those people, and it was a really good experience as a church as well. So I don't know if this is going to play. This is probably won't have our sound. Sometimes it's felt like the last 4 years have gone by in about 4 months, so, and we feel like there's not enough days in the week, but God has been good to us and sustaining us as well. So thanks, guys, for that sound. That should be it on that score, so appreciate that. This is our baptism in March this year, and we're thankful for God's work in the lives of Gabriel and Dai and Dona Cida. Gabriel and Dai on the right here. They actually found us on the internet after having spent some time in the United States, moved back to Brazil, and then were looking for a church. They actually came out of a church movement that's pretty legalistic, almost like a cult. They believe that they obviously maintain their salvation by their good behavior and also by their membership in the church that they were a part of. You leave that group and you're not saved anymore. That's what they were taught their whole lives. God actually used, God was good to them and put them in contact with a gal who's a Presbyterian, and she taught them the gospel and discipled them and then told them, you should look for a Bible church. And we were the only Bible church in the whole city, so they came. Appreciate your prayers for them. They've had a rocky road of it as over the last 4 months. Maybe later we can talk about some of that stuff, but we're thankful that they've been willing to meet with us on a regular basis and have grown in their desire to serve the Lord. The other gal in the photo there with the white hair, her name is Dona Cida. It's a very good Brazilian name. It's a nickname for the name Aparecida, which is in, oh dear, I want to say it in Portuguese, in, help me out here, gals, in homenaging, I'm sorry, in honor of, thank you, Mary, the Aparecida, the one who appears, kind of like in all of her self-revelations around the world. That's her name anyway. She started coming to church about a year and a half ago with her son and daughter-in-law, and made a profession of faith with them, and actually left behind Spiritism, lesbianism, and Catholicism, and a lot of other things in her life. And it's just been neat to see her grow in the Lord. She can't read. So her daughter-in-law records herself reading the Bible and sends her an audio every single morning so that she can hear God's word on a regular basis. And thankful for God's work in her life. Sometimes her son will come up and be like, Did you see my mom today? She's dressing like a girl. She's dressing like a woman. Isn't it beautiful? She's using women's clothes. And so we're thankful for what God has done in her life as well. So God's fulfilling his word, his promises to call people to himself, to build his church. And it's so great to be able to be a part of that as well. So do appreciate your prayers for us. Whether it's a women's meeting like the picture around the living room there, or church services or formal events or Awana clubs or youth group, God has given us an opportunity. We have more opportunities to teach the Bible than we have time to get to it. And sometimes it's hard for us to understand, you know, which would be the ones to say yes to and which would be the ones to say no to. So we appreciate your prayers for us. We do need God's wisdom. Can pray especially for Sergio and Fran. Sergio is the guy taking the selfie here on the right, and he and his wife have just been such a blessing over the last 2 years as they've really just come on board and been a part of our church and been available and been involved in every single opportunity that they have. They come every single Saturday afternoon and with their family and teach Awana and then stay all night and help with the youth group in the evening as well. And just this year we started teaching, we broke up into two groups on Saturday nights when David takes care of the youth group, but Sergio started teaching the middle schoolers and David's teaching the high schoolers, and we're thankful for God's good work in their lives and ask you to pray for them. Sergio's coming up on a difficult situation here in September. He's probably going to be losing his job, and so it's just been one of those things as God has taken him through some deep valleys and kind of chopped away at some of the things that he thought were most important and valuable in his life, and he's seen God to be his all in all and all that he needs, and given himself to Christ completely. It's been a neat thing to see. We've had some really wonderful conversations with them. He'll sit down in between Awana and youth group and just be like, you know, 5 years ago I would have been so upset, so worked up, and so stressed out. But I don't need all of that stuff. I have Jesus, and that's enough. Saying things like this. So we're thankful for God's good work in their lives. Appreciate your prayers for us. We might be wrapping up here a little bit early. If you have any questions for me, for us, we'd be happy to answer those. Appreciate your prayers for us. Pray for David and I and Aaron and Daniil. Pray for our team. Pray that God would use us. Pray that we would be united. Pray that we would work well together. Pray for us as we identify leaders. I don't have a picture of him, but we have another guy that showed up at our door just about a year ago, and he's actually from Uruguay, and he's been a pastor for about 30 years in different movements, and super well educated, and has a stronger accent than I do, even though his vocabulary is a lot better than I do than mine. But he's been a blessing as well as we've gotten to know him, and he's begun to get involved in well. He's been teaching Colossians on Wednesday night now that we've been gone. His name is Gildu. But appreciate your prayers for him. But as we just concentrate and begin to see the importance of developing leadership and training men and women for the ministry, our best evangelistic efforts these days is encouraging our church people to love the gospel and to know it and to share it with the people that they're around on a regular basis. Our Awana program also has been a blessing. Every week at youth group, there's probably a half a dozen young people on Saturday nights who aren't believers who are coming on a regular basis. Appreciate your prayers for that. And then one of the dynamics of having a church in a city, which is something that's new for me, is that almost every week we have visitors coming to check it out, two or three families a week or more isn't uncommon. And sometimes it's a little bit overwhelming. And I'm just like, well, if they come back another time or a third time, then I'll go and try to figure out who they are and where they're from. But God has just continued to give us opportunities to people who are coming to things that we're doing to share the gospel with them. So I appreciate your prayers. And then we are, we're just beginning to think about now some of other future possibilities as far as our church building. You saw in the video there, the people who were there also remember we kind of meet in a garage. We went from the garage of our house to it's kind of like a big warehouse. We got a great huge garage door that you could pull a semi truck into, and thanks to David Bomboy's skills as a carpenter, it looks a lot better than a garage now. But it's been a really great location. It's a good location. I didn't realize how good of a location it was when we got it. When we started renting, we were just kind of desperate because we were having to move out of our house, and anyway, didn't have a place to meet and trying to find any place we could, and God brought us there. It's a great location. It's been a very multi-purpose building, but we're beginning to see its limitations. Renting is expensive, and so we're asking our church people to pray as well as we think about long term, where we would like to be for the next 20 years, maybe. So appreciate your prayers for that as well. All right, my last slide here is a couple of QR codes. The one on the right, the one on the left, is for a WhatsApp group. If you're into that, it's kind of where we can just send a little blurb of a prayer request or a picture of something that's happening on a more regular basis. The one on the right is for our email list. If you aren't a part of that and would like to be, that's where they are. Otherwise, you can come and give me your email address later on, and we'd be happy to add your name to it as well. So that's the end of my slides. Does anybody have any questions? Gail?
Are you progressing in your looking for land and things? Maybe
you could learn a little more about that. Yeah, we haven't done anything formal in the sense of making offers. We've looked around a little bit, looked at a couple of different buildings, just to try to get a feel for what's out there and what it will take. Basically, it's expensive. If we're going to try to stay in the location, in the area where we are, in the neighborhoods there, where we're at, because it's pretty well developed in that area. Long term, I feel like that's probably the best place for the church to be, as far as strategically where we are at in the greater city. Just really easy, or as easy as it gets in our city to get anywhere. That's probably the place. If we go further out, maybe more towards where we live or further south in the city, it's a lot harder for people from other parts of the city to get to us. It'll be probably a bit cheaper to buy land and build in those places. But anyway, we haven't done anything concrete just because we don't have resources at this point to make any offers. We looked at a building that was an old school, three stories. And then the top story was like a gymnasium, but it wasn't covered. It would take a lot of work to try to get it adapted to what we would need. There was no auditorium in it, for one, but it was cool. There was lots of bathrooms and classrooms, so that was a plus. But that place was also landlocked. There was no parking there, but they wanted 1.5 million reais for that, which is going to be about $300,000, give or take, for that building, which... to get it fitted, we'd probably need to, we'd need a lot of work to get it where it was going to be long term. So there's a lot that we looked at. Great location. Anybody who's good at math can do the conversion, what 390 square meters is in square feet. Is anybody good at math to know that? It's small. It's pretty small. And they were asking 390,000 heiais for that. Probably could find something better. But in the area, it's not going to be any less expensive than that. That would just be for a flat piece of land where you'd have to build a building with your parking underneath and then build three or four stories on the top to try to be able to utilize the space that you'd need. So just, you saw the picture on the island there where the population density, how that works. That's the way it goes. So what'd you get, Jared?
4,198.
Square meters. There you go. Square feet. Thank you. So yeah. I kind of, in my personal opinion, I'd like to, I see the advantages of buying a building that we can then later work into remodeling to fit us, just because that gets us out of rent a lot faster, and we're paying about $800 a month rent where we're at right now. David, our coworker, he's a builder, and he'd probably like to just build from scratch because it's a lot less hassle, so that's probably what we'll end up doing. But anyway, appreciate your prayers for us on those, along those lines. So we're in the early stages, challenging our church people to give and to be praying about that as well. So and they've been responding, and we're thankful for that as well. So it's been a neat thing to see, and I just ask you to rejoice with us as well. We've been church planning. Been a part of a church planning teams in Brazil since 2009, and in every single church plant that we've been in, we haven't been able to get our people to understand generosity very well, and I think we still have a ways to go in our church. But it's been neat to see God work in our church people's lives and to see them beginning to be generous with the resources that they have. And to me, it's just really exciting. So praise the Lord for that. I don't know, any other questions along those lines? Or along other lines? Yes. Yeah. There are economic and security reasons for that. It's Santa Catarina, the state that we live in, has some pretty favorable, at least for Brazilian standards, business laws. And so there's economic growth happening that isn't happening in other parts of Brazil. And so people are moving there looking for jobs. For now, it's quite a bit more secure than when you think of other major cities in Brazil as well, major metro areas. And so people who are looking for a safer place to live are also, I mean, the people in our church, we have people in our church from literally all over Brazil, and actually from Uruguay and Venezuela as well, besides the United States. So that's what they're after. And that's kind of the reason why. For that, and people are still moving into the city. We can meet people literally every week that are brand new to the city. This is really fun. This is a really fun little anecdote. Have any of you ever seen or read the book The Port of Two Brothers? It's a missionary story about ABWE missionaries who went to the Amazon right after World War II, Paul and John Schlenner. And the Port of Two Brothers is because they bought a piece of property in the Amazon jungle and built their homes there. And then from there, they did river ministry and village ministry in the Amazon. So we're talking 70 years ago. And the story is just really fun as Paul Schlenner talks about their life and ministry there. Anyway, we read that book years ago and read it with our kids as well. You can find it on Amazon, I think. It's pretty great read. But last year, we had a family move to the area from Manaus, which is the capital of Amazon State, in the jungle there. And we were happy to receive them, and they've been a part of our church now for the last 6 months. And I was talking to the guy, and he was telling me about where he was from originally, and I was like, oh, I read a missionary story about those places before. And he was like, you did? What was the names of the missionaries? I said, Paul Schlenner. And he was like, what? He was my neighbor. His dad had actually purchased some of the property where the port was when they moved out and moved to the big city. So just a neat thing to see fruits of those missionaries' labors in our church and blessing us today. So it's really cool the way God works in that way. So anyway, that's kind of the reason for it. Any other questions? Yeah, we are, and for 99% of our church people, 1.5 million Hayis, if we just use that number, is pretty impossible to think about. I think having some help from out of the country is good. God's already provided $45,000 towards that. So that gets us about 225,000 Hayis, more or less. So we're thankful for that chunk there that's getting started. We're getting close to being able to say, make an offer and then see what happens from there. But all right. I don't know when we're supposed to be done, but I'm done, so...